Hey, everybody. Welcome to Skid Row Studios in downtown Los Angeles. This is the weekly wrap-up where we get you caught up on the week's biggest stories. Like us on Facebook or subscribe free at the iTunes store. I am your host, Ken August. I am joined today by the host of Bad Advice, Mr. Drew Marks. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm sorry I didn't get to sing the theme music.
Oh, we can always pause and you can sing the theme music. We had a special guest with us today, though. Comedian Sal Rodriguez. How are you, buddy?
I'm sorry. I thought this was the fetish show.
Well, welcome to Los Angeles. You're late like everybody else.
I was wondering why you wore assless chaps.
No, actually, strangely, that's complete coincidence.
That's my Sunday best.
Go straight to church from here.
We are not taking calls today. We're having some technical difficulties. I believe there's a between 100 or 200 people outside yelling comments at us from outside, but we are not taking them today. They're going to have to wait a week or two or three.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I'm going with Wednesday.
I like it.
Call now and we'll put you on hold till then.
We will talk about Scott Walker in a little bit, winning a recall election, becoming the first governor to do that. Our cannibal of the week got caught. That's a shame. It's a shame that's even a topic or a category. Sandusky trial is getting underway. I'm going to have some questions about reality shows and that teen mom thing that is ridiculous. Charlie Sheen goes off for a little while. That seems out of place. And we're going to talk some sports. A little hockey still going on, which is disappointing to the LA area. Basketball finals are now set. And then we'll probably make fun of Axl Rose later on. But first, let's deal with another massacre in Syria.
UN ceasefire monitors are trying to get into a Syrian village as reports of another massacre surface. The head of the mission told Al Jazeera in a statement the monitors can't get in.
The observers are being stopped at Syrian army checkpoints and in some cases turned back. Some patrols are also being stopped by civilians in the area, and residents are telling the observers it's not safe for them to enter the village.
And the Los Angeles Times reports the UN Secretary General said these monitors are being fired upon with small firearms. The Los Angeles Times has a statement from Ban Ki-moon. The UN mission is concerned about the restriction imposed on its movement as it will impede on our ability to monitor, observe, and report. Anti-government activists tell Fox News Syrian militia killed 80 people in the town of Kubir, more than half of them women and children.
Really, is there any difference? Every week we come back, it's just a question of a different town that I can't pronounce where people are
getting
killed.
Where is there going to be a massacre? Yeah. This is not going to end, though, until, unfortunately, I think in every country, not to overly simplify it, but until the people really decide that they're going full on, we've had enough. That's the way revolutions happen in places.
Well, how much more than full on we've had enough can you do than what they're doing right now? I mean, they're fighting in Damascus as of 2 days ago.
Well, but it's going to have to run its course, is what I'm saying.
Right, but I mean, just because you've said we've had enough doesn't necessarily mean you can overcome the tanks that are sitting in your streets.
No, you got to get your own tanks.
Yes.
That's what I do.
You go to Costco and you get a six-pack of tanks.
How do you think I'm improving my neighborhood in Van Nuys? Huh? How do you think? Just by words?
No, you did buy a tank-like. You did buy a tank-like vehicle. What kind of vehicle is that, by the way?
It's an FJ Cruiser. It's green, and you damn well better fear it.
I do fear it, especially when I know you're driving it. But 15 months this has been going on. There's not a lot. You have the UN basically... You're not going to get anything done because Russia and China don't, you know, they won't back anything. They'll veto anything that is too harsh, even too harshly worded at Syria. So they send in monitors that have unarmed monitors. Not that they have no arms. They're not,
that's,
you know,
difficult to get through a door. No wonder they can't get in.
I'm reminded of the powerlessness when I was a junior high school hall monitor.
Yes. Now imagine the people that you said, hey, do you have a pass if they shot at you?
Jersey. When you mean imagine.
In Drew's case, remember when you were... I mean, what do you do? First of all, is that not the worst job for a UN intern? Like, hey, we're going to give you no weapons at all.
It's got to be a great application process.
And the strange thing is you heard in that audio clip, they say the monitors aren't necessarily allowed in certain places to check up.
They turn them away.
Right.
So why is that allowed? Syria is a member of the UN, right? And then they send in UN monitors and Syria says no? How is that allowed?
Syria says yes, and they allow them there. But then when they try to go into specific areas, people say no. The Syrian government goes, no, that's not our people saying no. We're not telling them.
Just like in Iraq, remember the nuclear inspectors? It's like, yo, you can come in. No, not that room.
Yeah, can't go in that room. Well, give us like 6 weeks and then we'll let you in that room. Yeah. You're like, then we go in, we're like, oh, they don't seem to have anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the strange thing is it seems like you have the UN monitors basically relying on the criminals to let them in and find evidence against them.
Well, because are they trying to say that it's the rebels? Because they're trying to blame the massacre on rebels. So are they saying that it's then rebels that are not allowing the UN monitors into the village?
No, they are not claiming that they're not allowing. They don't know who that is. They're or just denying that report. They're also claiming that the rebels, specifically outside forces, are coming in. Terrorist forces, they're saying, are coming in killing people to try to stir up trouble.
Because no one's wearing like actual uniforms. It's just... guys. Right.
Yeah, because we know that certain regimes in the Middle East don't have just random brute forces, like militias that go out and whoop some ass. So what do you do? I mean, is the UN completely outdated at this point in time? I mean, I'm not against a unifying body like that, but is it outdated when a guy's just killing people and you can't do anything about it?
Yeah. I don't know that it's outdated as so much as ineffective. Like, it doesn't mean that couldn't change, but right now it's just... like sanctions without teeth. If it can't be enforced, if it's just words, yeah, it's. I think ineffective is probably a better word.
I think the problem is the name, United Nations. It doesn't have the same punch that the preceding group had, the League of Nations.
Yes.
If you remember, the League of Nations preceded.
You mean like with Aquaman?
Exactly. It sounded like, well, I don't mess with the League of Nations. Okay, they got fucking powers. All right, United. Doesn't have the same
League of Nations does lend itself to superhero sounding stuff, but I believe we weren't in the League of Nations. The U.S. waved off the League of Nations.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we suggested it, and then we went, I don't know if we want to necessarily have to follow other people's rules, so nah, we're good.
Yeah, we only like it if we have the final say.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, I can understand that, but still, you can't understand that from anybody else's perspective. You know, I mean, we can say we want to do good things and there's bad things going on over there. But if you're Russian, well, if you're in Russian government, at least in the parliament over there, you're saying, yeah, why do I want another U.S. ally in that part of the world when we're dealing with those guys at this point in time? And how would we feel if it was the other way around?
The whole thing seems absurd to me when certain countries have like a veto power.
Seven countries.
Seven different countries have veto powers. So... what ends up happening, just like you look at the Palestinian thing, it's like a bunch of people say, okay, we vote for this to happen with the Palestinians, and then we go, no, we veto it. So you're always going to have someone that doesn't agree. It's very rare. I mean, Hitler aside, you know, do we ever get to a situation where everyone's like, oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
And even then, we didn't all come in at the same time.
Right.
No.
Forgive my ignorance. So you're saying that there's... how many members of the UN? Over 100 nations?
I will not forget your ignorance.
Okay, please. how many countries can veto? Seven?
Seven, I believe.
Well, who voted on that? The seven?
Yeah. The most powerful nations.
Exactly. Who's got the biggest army? Mm-hmm. It's like, if you are a threat, you have, you know, a veto power.
Okay, so right then and there, then, it is inherently... corrupt and imbalanced.
Imbalanced. Not necessarily inherently corrupt, although I'm not saying that power doesn't ultimately corrupt anyway, but inherently it's imbalanced.
Here's a question then. I'm assuming Canada does not have veto power. Because no one really fears Canada.
No, Canada doesn't have... well, I don't think they have veto power, but unless whatever the U.S. says counts as veto power, yes.
Yeah.
So who are the people who have the veto power, and what is their relationship with Syria?
There's two that support them, China and Russia.
Russia specifically, they get along their allies with the current dictator, but they also...
because they sell them billions of dollars of...
yeah, $5 billion in arms in the last 4 years.
So this has to do with Syria having, instead of a U.S. puppet government, a Russian puppet government.
Well, yes. That's why the veto is going on. Russia's not willing to give up their puppet government for us to put in our puppet government, so...
Dunham when you need him?
Where's who?
Where's Jeff Dunham when you need him?
He needs a little Syrian Assad puppet.
That would help. At least it would help in the middle of our country. That would help. All right, let's come back to our country a little bit. Wisconsin, Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin, became the first governor to survive a recall attempt.
After surviving Wisconsin's fiercely contested recall with a wider than expected win, the state's Republican Governor Scott Walker vowed to bring both Democratic and Republican members of the legislature together. The victory earns Walker, a hero of the Tea Party movement and a rising star among Republicans, the right to finish his term. It's also an endorsement of his effort to vigorously cut state spending and continue his aggressive stance toward unions. His challenger, Milwaukee's Democratic Mayor Tom Barrett, had hoped to ride a wave of union support and reverse the governor's policies.
We are a state that has been deeply divided, and it is up to all of us, our side and their side, to listen.
But after his remarks, Barrett appeared to be slapped by a woman in the crowd.
Snap out of it!
Sorry, I had to throw that part in there. Apparently Cher made an appearance.
From Moonstruck.
That was...
You guys know your slaps.
The guy can see, he really does, doesn't he?
I knew that was not from any other Cher movie.
That was hard for a mermaid to slap. That's the only other Cher movie I can name.
Which one was that? What's the mermaid Cher movie?
I believe it was called Mermaids.
I don't remember that. I got that
confused
with
it. They weren't actual mermaids, though.
Doesn't matter.
Is that the one with Daryl Hannah?
It was no.
Splash.
Yeah, that's Splash.
Oh, how many freaking mermaid movies do they make?
I believe there's been two now. Two huge mermaid movies, one of which apparently they're not actual mermaids. But that was Christina Ricci. Christina Ricci was in that movie. She was like
fascinating.
Five years old, maybe? Cute, adorable little girl. Anyway, still Scott Walker, Wisconsin. First governor ever to win a recall.
I think that's awesome because, you know, as a citizen of the state of California, I remember when there was the Gray Davis recall. And to imagine that they would have had a Gray Davis recall election and then reelect Gray Davis. I mean, this is amazing. This guy wins a recall election. Who the hell is this guy?
Well, he is now Captain Recall.
I actually sort of, and mind you, I hate everything that guy stands for. I think he's a total scumbag. However, one of the things that really bothers me in this country is we have these elections and then there's like buyer's remorse. It's like, that's not the way it should work. It's like we spend millions of dollars on these propositions and everything else. And then the losing side goes, you know, we're really not happy with the result. So let's sue and overturn it. It's like, don't bring it up to a vote or let it stand. I actually do believe that they voted him in. He stays until it's time to vote him out.
Are you not the same guy that used to buy things from Costco and return it within 24 hours? Always? Are you not that guy? Are you
not an election?
Are you not Johnny Buyer's Remorse? Is that not you? I'm just making sure. I'm just curious.
I would not equate my propensity for returning things to Costco
you were the
with
reason,
an election.
You were the reason they changed that policy.
I am indeed that reason. But once the policy changes, I adhere to it.
You know, here's the thing is the only argument I can give, because I tend to agree with you, the only argument I can give is that when they started leaking those phone calls, when somebody called and pretended they were the Koch brothers, and he was basically giving a plan on how he's going to get rid of unions and he's going to do all these other things.
I am thoroughly against what he wants to do.
No, I understand that. But that what came out there was a plan that he wasn't all that clear about when he got into office. Mm-hmm. That being said, I tend to agree with you. Make that clear. Make sure he doesn't win the next election, which is why he did 1 or 2 percentage points better, I think, this time than last time. Didn't change anybody's mind, but there was a handful of people in the exit polls walking out who said, I don't even think that this recall should have happened.
I think that this was a whole marketing scheme on behalf of the upcoming remake of the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Total Recall.
That is quite possible. 94% of the people in the exit polls who voted for either Walker or Barrett in 2010 voted for the same person in the recall. 94% in the exit polls said, I did not change my mind. I liked them last time. I'm voting for him.
I don't find that too surprising.
Now, you take that and you add to it the percentage of people who said, I'm voting for him, because there were a couple people who said, I am voting for Walker for the same thing you said, which is basically, I don't think this recall should have happened. So yeah. Even though I don't like him, I think he has a right. He won. He should be in there until his election's over.
Yeah, well, that's why
term is over.
You know, I look at that the same way as the thing that frustrated me with Obama's election. It's like, look, we elect somebody, good or bad.
Let them do it.
Let them do something. If you don't like it, change it later.
That's my problem.
But this cycle of, you know, nothing getting done.
Yeah, no, that was my problem, and that's always been my problem with Obama, which is, It sucks if he doesn't get reelected, that he got elected, got stopped or tried to work with both parties too much and tried to compromise too much to the point where he doesn't do everything he wants to do. And then they say, look, your policies didn't work. And you're like, well, if you're going to get in there and then lose the reelection, at least try to get your policies through. Lose on your policies.
Well, that's
so I agree with you. It's Scott Walker.
Policy doesn't work if it's not instituted.
Well, no, they can and they do because fact plays no role in it. But yes, I agree with you in theory. Yes, so that is why, as much as I don't like Scott Walker.
You have to have a policy in effect in order for it to not work.
Right. Scott Walker being a douche is not a good reason for him to be recalled, I don't think.
Wasn't there some sort of conspiracy? Wasn't he accused of doing something illegal involving funds or something? I mean, why did they push for a recall? What did he do?
He basically started immediately trying to, he started taking away the rights of the unions.
Collective bargaining.
Yes, got rid of collective bargaining and basically has been attacking the unions from that point on.
Got it. So his base voted him in. He attacked the unions. The people who support the unions wanted a recall. They didn't win. The people that voted him in the first place elect him again.
Yeah, add to them a couple of people who went, why am I voting again only 2 years later? Yeah, add those people to his side as well. And that's basically it. All right, let's move on to our Cannibal of the Week. Cannibal of the Week is a new category for us.
I thought there was going to be some sort of music to go with that. As soon as
there
you said
should
Cannibal
be.
Of the Week, like, ah, or something.
You know what?
Know.
Hold
like
on.
Jungle.
Do you remember that jungle noise?
Good.
Here we go. You know what? Ladies and gentlemen, our new segment, Cannibal of the Week. That is nice. Although
jungle
now I guess,
sounds.
Yeah, now it's got to eat a monkey, I guess. I don't understand. Let's listen to our Cannibal of the Week.
This morning, the Canadian porno actor known as Luca Magnotta is in German custody a week after a gruesome murder he allegedly videotaped and then posted online triggered a global manhunt.
German police arrested Luca Magnotta in this Berlin internet cafe on Monday. An employee tipped them off after recognizing Interpol's most wanted man surfing for reports about himself. Magnotta, 29, whose real name is Eric Clinton Newman, is accused of killing, dismembering, even cannibalizing the corpse of June Lin, a 33-year-old Chinese student he dated in Montreal. Police believe body parts mailed to Canadian political parties belong to June. So was a torso found in a suitcase near Magnotta's apartment.
By the way, that's my problem with FedEx, is you can never find a box that can fit a good torso.
Yeah. You know Fox News is like, Clinton's a cannibal.
What I don't understand is how are these people able to post? Everybody's posting stuff. You got this guy posting his murders. You have Al-Qaeda posting. I look at picture of one 17-year-old and AT&T's threatening my dial-up connection. I mean,
that's because you were looking at her through the window. That's the reason, by the way. No, that's a good question. I posted something once and it had something from a movie in it. It was just, it was like I posted a little comedy thing and YouTube or one of them wouldn't let it stay on because it immediately was flagged. It's copyright. Like, you don't have the rights for this copyright. You went, oh, all right, I didn't even think about that. Okay, makes sense. And it wouldn't go on. Yet this guy can tie someone up, kill him, eat him, have sex with some of the parts apparently he didn't eat, and then that can get online.
Was he saving the other parts for marriage?
Actually, I'm looking at his YouTube account right now. He has 4 thumbs up.
Oh, that's a good cannibal joke. You know, here's the thing is, you guys have been storing up your cannibal jokes. 2 comedians across the table from me have been storing up cannibal jokes for years.
Good cannibal joke.
And now it's just a flurry. The floodgates have opened.
I've been waiting a long time to get 3 in 1 week.
It's a horrible new trend, by the way.
This guy, they searched his music library. You know what they found his favorite musical group was?
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go.
Fine Young Cannibals.
Seriously. Do you feel good about you? Feel good about yourself?
You drive me crazy, Sal.
That is no. Here's,
that's right. I did it. I said it.
That's horrible. Seriously, that is. I mean, not the joke. The reference is just horrible. But I probably the first Fine Young Cannibals joke I've heard in a long time.
Ever.
Now,
funny thing though. You ready? This is trivia. The singer for Fine Young Cannibals, also a porn actor.
Is that true?
That is absolutely true.
Post music career?
He was in porn first, and then the guy, she drives me crazy. That guy? Yeah, that guy.
You guys, neither one of you guys should do that anymore.
Remind me never to go.
Every 5 minutes, I'm going to do that now.
No, you guys should not only not sing that, I'm thinking about cutting out the monkey noises as well.
Yeah. Fix it in post.
That's a good little trivia.
It's a tie-in.
Wait, they're not Canadian, though, are they? Are Fine Young Cannibals Canadian?
I don't think so.
No, it doesn't do good things for our porn industry, by the way, when they're slicing people up. But
you know what sucks? I used to think Canada was such an awesome...
When they go, you eat her in this scene. No, that's not what we meant.
Canada used to be so squeaky clean, right? And then what the hell happened? I mean, what was that movie, Fahrenheit 9/11? No. Bowling for Columbine.
Yeah.
Sold me on Canada. Now, what the hell's all this cannibal shit?
Well, no, you know, it's not limited to that. It's
obviously not hockey.
It's not limited to Canada. It is, you know, because obviously we have guys chewing on faces in Miami is not helping anybody.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, the face chew?
Oh, the face chewing.
Yeah, the face chewing guy is but this guy went, oh, you think face chewing is going to get you popular? I will not only have sex with this thing when I'm done eating it, I'm going to mail the pieces that I wasn't going to eat to other places.
You got
to
up your game.
And then that's the thing, is that at some point in time, this guy's going to have, they're going to have to figure out if this guy is sane enough to stand trial. And you're like, he mailed body parts to different places.
Yeah, we're lowering the bar for sanity.
Yeah, I don't know what you do when you're deciding, hey, is he sane enough? Enough for what? Because both feet and both hands went different places. Mailed them. There's not a lot of sane in that, I don't think.
Well, you know, we have to change, you know, just like we are in a current sociopolitical argument about what qualifies intelligence. And the IQ testing is being revised. We have to now quantify and qualify what is sane and what is insane. Because I agree with you. As soon as you kill somebody and mail their parts, especially if you use FedEx, which is more expensive than the Postal Service, you are insane.
You think UPS is going, you know, maybe we're not advertising enough.
I think Fox is trying to get enough of these
people.
What
can Brown chew for you?
Well, nice, hey! Nice. I think.
Fairness, though, the guy in Miami, though, just to come in here, the guy in Miami who was chewing off the other guy's face, they pumped his stomach. I just read this morning. They pumped his stomach, and they found no human remains in the guy's stomach. So he chewed on the face, but didn't eat him.
Maybe he was full. Maybe he was a bulimic cannibal. Is that what you're claiming?
A bulimic cannibal.
Yes, that's what we. I hate
you
those.
Know. Here's the thing, though. Bulimic cannibals. The one interesting thing about a bulimic cannibal.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't use his own finger.
Nice.
That was better than my finding.
Look at Nick in the sound booth. He loves that one. Don't
you know what? I've forgotten this for the last couple of weeks. Let's say hey to Nick, by the way. Nick's our know-everything guy in the booth.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? All you guys' silliness and jokes back there definitely is cracking me up. Cheered me up, definitely.
My goal is to make Nick laugh. That's my... Every time I tell a joke, I look over at Nick... And he's my litmus test.
That's right.
That's good. Because yesterday when you walked out, the first thing he said to me is, that guy's such a dick.
I know.
Not even.
Nick's great. No, man. Nick, we appreciate everything you're doing. Nick's in here keeping us on the air. Well, speaking of scummy people, by the way, no pun intended, we got Sandusky. The Sandusky trial is starting. They at least found enough jurors, 14 to 16 jurors, who haven't been molested by Sandusky. Let's listen to this.
The list of witnesses in the Jerry Sandusky Penn State child molestation trial was discussed in court on Tuesday. Several people who accuse Sandusky of molesting them as children will take the stand. Also taking the stand will be the late coach Joe Paterno's widow, Sue, and his son, Jay, and Mike McQueary, a former player for Penn State who became an associate coach. McQueary says he saw Sandusky naked in the shower with a boy. Jury selection is now underway.
That's wrong. I think he's going with the Costanza excuse when they talked about the shower. He went, I'm going to have to plead ignorance on this
one. I had known it was wrong to have a 10-year-old wrapped around my penis.
That's the strange thing about this guy, is that even once he was arrested and then he did one or two interviews, he would still say shit where you're like, my God, what are you? You're so obviously raping boys. Like, they would ask him, are you attracted to boys? He'd be like, am I attracted to boys?
I like being with them.
Yeah,
being around them.
Following his arrest, Jerry Sandusky acknowledged in interviews that he showers with young boys and embraces them naked, but denied sexually abusing them.
Well, that's the Michael Jackson argument. I slept with the kids, but we didn't do anything.
But there's something about Michael Jackson to me is slightly different. And it could solely be because he can moonwalk. That could be it. But there was an element.
I have not seen Sandusky dance.
No. There was, it's true. If he can moonwalk, he may be able to moonwalk his way right out of this trial. But the one thing about Michael Jackson, before we get back to Sandusky, is that there was an element of his craziness that was almost believable, to the point where if you're a child molester, are you going to bring Emmanuel Lewis to the Academy, I mean, to the Grammy Awards with you? Are you going to hang out with Macaulay Culkin? Are you going to stand on, you know, he was a child. That was always my hope. And then the more shit you found out, you kind of went, well, no.
Yeah, oh, we had a drinking and Jesus juice.
Oh, and he had a secret, secret room, a hidden room in his bedroom. All right, so possible. But there was always an element of you go, well, if he really is a child, like he claims he kind of acts like a child, and how would he spend all of that money? The man lives in an amusement park and a zoo.
Yeah.
I mean, how much? So when I had asked, when I used to defend him, and someone would say, I would say, well, why? Really? He's molesting kids and he hangs out with Webster and Macaulay Culkin. And they go, well, that's what makes him so smart. Is that, and like, really? So now he's an evil genius? Michael Jackson is an evil genius. But that being said,
if we see Sandusky show up at the trial and outside he's standing on top of a car dancing, then we know he's guilty.
Yeah, that's another, by the way. I mean, talk about insane. I mean, it's not exactly mailing a foot to Parliament, but it's insane when you're like, hey, I'm going to head into my molestation trial, but let me do a quick dance on top of my limo.
I mean, look, Michael's a little eccentric, and I've always kind of gone back and forth on whether he was guilty or not. He was, at the very least, he was guilty of very poor decision-making. But Sandusky transcends that. Sandusky's just a creepy...
He is guilty as could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
Does the good ever outweigh the bad? Does the good ever outweigh the bad? I mean, supposedly...
Depends on what.
Okay.
You mean like as a coach?
Well, let's go back to Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson did so much stuff. You know, what is he like?
Yes.
Building orphanages and all that. And then he molested a kid. Sandusky like created these foundations for youth, helped so many youth, and then he molested some kids. I mean, is there like a system of checks?
There's not a balance for this reason. Is that you didn't? Then it's an interesting question, but you can't say, well, he helped enough people with his charity that we'll ignore the fact that he used his charity to find kids to molest.
And his charity was no Thriller.
Thriller was a great Thriller. Damn. You know what? Here's the thing: is you're gonna have that good of an album, you're gonna have a good chance of getting off. And another thing, if you have, if you're a football running back Hall of Famer, you got a decent chance of walking for a while as well. So, yeah, there is apparently a balance. If you're famous enough, you got a decent chance of walking.
You think that they'll look like a creepy fat white guy?
Who was the?
That's why Martha Stewart went to jail.
Right. Yeah. So wait, are you saying that you're pretty certain that Sandusky is gonna be convicted?
Yes.
I don't know how he can't be. I mean, he wrote love letters to some of these kids that they're going to read in trial. And there's like 52, I think there's 52 cases, I think they said. Or like not 52 different victims, but 52 incidents, I believe. 52 charges. You're like,
you have eyewitnesses.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I have some of his poetry here, actually. Hope you enjoyed your visit to Penn State. Excuse me while I masturbate.
That's nice. I didn't know he can rhyme. Here's the thing is, apparently if he can rhyme well enough, once again, if he can rhyme while moonwalking, this man's got himself a future.
There's all kinds of bad poetry. Roses are red, violets are blue. You're cute. Can I touch you?
Now, here's the one thing that scares me.
That's one of Drew's original
poems. That is Drew Marks signed in the bottom right-hand corner. Well done. Here's what scares me.
I was his ghostwriter.
Out of a jury of 16, four alternates. So there's 20 jurors, possible jurors. The majority of them, so more than 10 of them, have some sort of close ties to Penn State. Yeah. That scares me. That scares me because this is an area where... When that first information first came out, they protested because Joe Paterno was getting fired.
Yeah,
they protested because their 89 or 80 something year old coach, who kind of let that shit happen and brushed it under the rug, was getting fired. And yet, those are the people that are going to be on the trial. So that does worry me a little bit.
You know, yes and no. Well, you don't know if they're the ones. You know, they go through that vigorous process. So you don't know that they're necessarily of that group. Like, just because there were a bunch of people protesting, all I'm saying is those are not necessarily the ones that made it through to the case.
No, that is definitely true.
There were also large protests. Remember, they had very large protests on the other side as well.
But wait, are you saying that these 16 people on the jury... You just said have ties to Penn State?
Yes.
Well, what the hell is that? Who?
Almost everyone does in that area.
Yeah.
Who's allowing this? What kind of judge? You know what they ought to do then is move the case.
They should.
Don't they do that? They move the case?
They do move the case when they feel like they can't get
an impartial jury.
Right. Now, I don't know, like Drew said, I don't know whether out of those, you know, majority of people that have ties to Penn State, whether some of them said, you know, I live near the area and I work in the area, but I don't, you know, I find what he did disgusting. Like, there may be people
but
like that.
Remember, the prosecution gets to dismiss a certain amount.
True, but...
And the defense gets to dismiss a certain amount. So the idea when they choose juries is, you know...
That is the idea, yes. But would you be happy if during the OJ trial, if out of the 20 possible jurors, 14 of them had ties to the NFL? Would that seem fair?
In all fairness, what you got to do is this, you guys. Here's what you got to do. A jury is supposed to be a jury of your peers. That's what it says. That means Sandusky should be judged by only a jury of child molesting coaches. That's it.
Sadly, you know, shortly after that, Bernie Fine.
Problem getting 12
Bernie
of those.
Fine, yeah. There's another one. I mean, we can name some.
Just go to women's basketball.
That is horrible. We're going to go to a different version of horrible. We're going to go to an accepted version of horrible. Acceptable version of horrible. We're going to go to reality TV. The Teen Mom, a teen mom from the show, I believe Teen Mom, as well as other things, decided to go to jail instead of going back to her rehab. Let's listen to this.
It's been 3 years since we watched Amber Portwood experience the epic highs
it's a girl.
And debilitating lows of teen motherhood.
I buy that! Get out!
But now the 22-year-old reality star of two monster hits for MTV, 16 and Pregnant, and Teen Mom, is facing a new reality. Prison. This week, Portwood quit her court-ordered rehab, instead choosing to serve a 5-year prison sentence for an illegal prescription drug charge.
I felt like I'd rather do my time and get it over with and make the best out of the situation that's been handed to me.
Last year, she was rushed to the hospital after her boyfriend Gary Shirley called 911.
I'm calling you guys because I don't want her to kill herself.
It was Portwood's explosive relationship with Shirley that got her in trouble in the first place. After this episode of Teen Mom a year ago, she was arrested and pled guilty to domestic violence charges. She lost custody of her daughter, Leah. Her life, a public spectacle.
Who would have thought that the star of 16 and Pregnant and Teen Mom's life was a public spectacle?
We make these shows. It's just a horrible, horrible thing. I'm sorry. I do not approve.
That is what we're going to get to is basically, and that's kind of what I want to discuss is not so much this girl. And I mean, we will briefly, and then we will move on to the other ridiculous reality shows. But this is a girl who, I mean, this is a girl who, first of all, starred obviously in 16 Pregnant and Teen Mom. So that happens. And I'm not saying there aren't teen moms who have gotten pregnant and haven't been wonderful, wonderful people and parents after that. But to say, hey, you know what, let's make this, you know, let's make this a thing. Let's make her popular for being a teen mom, for not knowing what the hell a condom is at the age of 16, or at least
you're
saying pull out shirt.
Very, very bad group of role models.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, you are. And now this girl who says, you know, who decided, basically she was able to avoid jail. And they said, what we'll do is we'll give you rehab. And she went to the rehab and said, she felt, quote, let me quote her, in my situation, I felt in the program there were a lot of eyes on me and it was very uncomfortable. And so she decided to take prison instead.
One thing you have to realize,
there's
going to
be other things on her there.
Mm-hmm. This show, Teen Moms, was actually a spinoff to the original series, Teen Sluts.
Well, there had to be a season two. That was going to be it.
But who chooses jail over rehab? I want to go to rehab. I'm not even a drug addict. I want to go to rehab. Don't you like you get to get up in your own room, you get to stretch and work out and have a nutritious meal and then go see a therapist? That sounds great. I want to go there. Who wants to choose prison over that?
So what you're suggesting is that this 22-year-old star of 16 and Pregnant and Teen Mom may not make some good choices. Is that what you're suggesting to me?
That is what I'm saying. For anyone listening, choose rehab over prison.
Yeah, I got to say, I've seen those commercials for, like, you know, Promises and Malibu. It looks gorgeous.
It does look nice.
Seen, like, Lock Up Raw and go, that's where I want to go.
And I have been thinking about getting addicted to shit just because of some of those commercials look very, very, very relaxing. But I mean, I don't think she understands. Obviously, she doesn't seem to understand. Go back to Sal's question, which is who chooses jail over rehab?
You think she's going to wake up like the second day in jail going, I'd like to maybe reconsider.
Yeah. She said, people with too many eyes on me, I felt uncomfortable. Well, first of all, you were the star. Yeah, you were the star of two reality shows because you've been making bad choices. So that's why people are looking at you. And people will look at you in jail as well.
Mm-hmm. Will she be somebody's bitch, do you think? Do you think she'll have to get somebody's cigarettes and hang on to their belt loop?
Probably, yes. But I think she thinks this is like a camp.
Who's taking the kid while this is happening?
Her husband, who got his ass kicked by her in the first place. Her husband, named Shirley, I believe. Portwood plans to get her life on track while in prison, by the way. She says, quote, I'm going to take some classes. I'm going to get my GED. Take as many programs as I can. Like, where do you think you're going? Wait, I mean, I'm sure you can do all of those things.
And GED, you can fucking do that in the free world. You don't need to go to prison for that.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think, you know, and it brings me to what reality shows do.
Just like bunk beds.
I mean, reality shows buy a bunk bed at IKEA. You can put one together. And reality shows basically take, and they're so popular because they're cheap to make, and people can't not look at a train wreck. So reality shows will take what they can find to be a train wreck and put them on TV. Now, those shows on MTV, what that girl was a star of, you know, that's sensationalizing, not a great life situation. Some people do wonderful things with that and fantastic, but it's not a great life. Nobody says, well, you know what, if I can hit 16 and then get pregnant, that'd be awesome. So that's rarely said outside of maybe the South. However, you look at
Orange County.
You look at some of the shows that first hit it big. You look at the Anna Nicole Smith show, and it was like, why was that show ever popular? It was because she was a train wreck. Mm-hmm. She was an absolute train wreck, and the worse you can keep her, the better it was on film. And that is what most of these reality shows are. Gary Busey, they tried to give him that show, which, you know, was basically, can you be crazy? And it was like, oh, yeah, I can be nothing but crazy.
Well, you know, I've worked on every season of Celebrity Rehab. I've worked with that show for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked on a lot of other reality shows. And, I've seen firsthand just how messed up they can be. Some, I think, can offer some help. You know, you and I have gone back and forth on this, you know, especially with, like, the Celebrity Rehab. I do believe that some good can come of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the same, you know, you can't lump in all reality shows. Like,
yeah,
the Toddlers
the
and Tiaras is not the same as you know, the rehab show, either ours or, you know, when they do, like, intervention. Those shows help people.
You see, now, I will take a slightly different toll on that. Now, I do agree. I'm not saying every reality show is equally bad. Toddlers and Tiaras, for instance, the Amazing Race reality show, although people's understanding of what reality is, let me explain this real quick to people who aren't in this business. If you think to make any show and put it on TV costs millions of dollars, if you think people that are investing millions of dollars are going to leave it up to contestants to hope the show stays interesting, you guys are crazy and not that bright. So everything is manipulated. Even if everyone has a normal conversation, things can be manipulated and edited together so people sound suspicious and things along those lines. That being said, some shows, reality-wise, competition shows, things like that, all right, sure, they're editing up, building up the drama. That is different than for Toddlers and Tiaras. I think even if it's not a show, the act should be criminal because you're slutting up your little daughter. Get a poodle if you want to parade something around in a ribbon. I'm fine with that. If you can teach it to sing, sure. Then you put it on YouTube and everyone's going to watch. But to do that to your daughter seems ridiculous to me. But back to the Dr. Drew show, because you and I will have this conversation quite often. And I will usually come over the top.
He is a friend, and I will defend him.
And I understand. And I usually will come slightly over the top just because I enjoy your reaction. But to me, he is a producer of a reality show. He is a producer of a reality show that is fully aware that if everything goes drama-free and smoothly, his show blows. I've never heard anybody ever And I haven't been to a lot of therapists, and I'm sure God knows I should be, but I've never heard a therapist say, you know what you need to get through your problems is to make other people watch. That doesn't generally happen unless you're hoping to make money off of it. Every season that you work on that show, you and I speak and you're shocked. Like, oh my God, this guy went off the deep end and found some alcohol. I wonder how that happened. Nobody saw that coming. Did the girlfriend somehow come in with a bottle of liquor in her purse? Every season. And there's a reason. If shit doesn't go down, that show sucks. So I question the doctor-ness of all of that.
The way that that show does help people, aside from the fact that we have had actual like people, you know, I know firsthand some of the people on that show that their lives have been saved by it.
I assume you don't list Jeff Conaway among those people?
No, look, you're always, whether it's that show or addiction in general, these people die. I got news for you. Jeff Conaway, as nice as a guy as he was, he was never getting better.
Whether it was
the show or elsewhere, that was not going to be an option for him.
No doubt, but that wasn't going to help.
I'll tell you Stephen Adler. Stephen Adler would have been dead without...
Right.
What he went through.
That's also quite, and I don't argue that rehab will help, and I'm not saying he's killing everybody, but I would say this, Steven Adler also, if he did well there, probably would have done well without all of that being filmed.
But again, yes, just because the potential is there, but the other thing that show has done is when it brings it to a wider audience, and I know because I have actually talked to other people, because we do it at the Pasadena Recovery Center, I have talked to people not on the show side, you know, where you just have the regular people. Because I'm there 8 hours a day. I talk to these people. Some of them said, you know, just seeing these other people on television, what they had to go through, it got me to seek the help. So I'm not saying it's all good. I think reality TV is skewed and it can be horrible, but some good can come of it.
Can I just say this, you guys? Go back to Jeff Conaway. What killed Jeff Conaway is not actually drugs themselves, but the fact that he originated the role of Danny Zuko on Broadway, and then when they made the movie, they gave it to John Travolta. That's what killed him.
That didn't help him. Well, let me phrase that. Probably did, because I'm not sure the movie Grease starring Jeff Conaway does nearly as well. But yeah, that was a whole different topic that we'll get to another day. But what his supposed was his fiance, his ex-fiance?
I knew her as well.
She supposedly told the tabloid that he had put in a suicide note that John Travolta, he woke up one day to John Travolta blowing him, and that's why he ended the relationship.
That's why Jeff Conaway ended the relationship with John Travolta?
Yeah, not a sexual relationship, ended a friendship with him because he woke up, which, you know, of course, I'm not claiming that is true. That is what a, like, tabloid said, his fiance said. Of course, that doesn't come out until the guy who can defend it dies, which is
normally John Travolta was supportive of Jeff Conaway's recovery. Didn't he financially support some of his recovery efforts?
That I don't know.
That's what I heard. I heard that John Travolta actually tried to help Jeff Conaway.
That's possible. I believe he did the soundtrack to his recovery. Let's move on to Charlie Sheen had another rant. He was at the LA King game recently. Let's listen to this.
Who do you think is going to win today, Charlie?
The Kings.
The Kings?
Yes. Yes.
By how much?
It's common sense and common courtesy to, like, go on in society. That's what I'm trying to impress upon her, you know? That's all. Let a guy back in the door he just walked out of. I mean, come on, you know?
Because you can't smoke inside, so...
It ain't about smoking, bro. It's about common sense. That's all.
Right.
Hey, is Taylor Swift there?
Sorry?
See Taylor Swift? Is she in the ship? Is she there?
I don't even know. I couldn't figure out a lineup at gunpoint, bro. All right.
First of all, out of that limited thing, besides, I love any clip that's mostly bleeping. But
I thought it was Mel Gibson.
Blow my balls was the big quote in there. But let me just state right off the bat that the guys interviewing him, who I believe were TMZ guys, just sounds so stupid right off the bat. Right off the bat. Like that second part of the clip was after they recorded him losing his shit. They're like, oh, maybe we can get him to talk and say something dumb too. So they asked him, sounds amped up. Hey, is Taylor Swift in there? Like, seriously, what? Kind of question is Taylor Swift in there while you just kind of...
You can't blame him for losing his temper. It's like, why are you asking me this?
Oh, no, he didn't lose his temper at them.
No, I know. I'm saying, but I wouldn't blame him if he did.
No, like those guys, he should yell at. I agree with you. I mean, what kind of ridiculous question is that? Is Taylor Swift in there? Hey, you just lost your shit. It's going to be all over the news. People are going to make a bigger deal out of it. Did you see Taylor Swift at the hockey game?
So was Taylor Swift at the hockey game?
I don't know. He said he couldn't point her out at gunpoint.
Okay, but so in other words, prior to this, there was no Taylor Swift was seen with Charlie Sheen or anything?
No, nothing. It was just, hey, yeah, well, let's throw something else in here because I'm an idiot and I probably just tried to stalk Taylor Swift for a few minutes.
He sounded reasonable to me.
That sounds like an idiot.
Oh, so he didn't say blow. He wasn't talking to Taylor Swift when he said blow my balls.
No. Although that would make more sense. Yeah, that would be more of a suggestion than a yelling. But no, the woman, he went out to smoke. He went to the Kings game, went out to smoke, and then he went back in or tried to go back in. The woman wouldn't let him in. He freaked out. Freaked out a little bit. He basically screamed, blow my balls. But is that really bad publicity for Charlie Sheen, who has anger management television show coming out in this month?
He's all about publicity.
Good promotion.
He's all about publicity. He's not. Nobody ever says that he's dumb. Nobody says Charlie Sheen's dumb. They say he's crazy, but they don't say he's dumb. This guy knows how to market. This guy knows about publicity. Yeah. Any publicity with him ranting and raving, especially with this new anger management show, is going to be great.
He's got a great track record for success.
That is true. That is definitely true. Although, in the rest of the interview, they asked him about, you know, whether he's going to go to the next hockey game. And he said, I'm never going to a hockey game again as long as I'm alive. Which sounds like a nice Charlie Sheen reasonable reaction to... You can't exit and re-enter and go, oh, well, you know what? Then I will never go to a hockey game for the rest of my life.
You know what? By you saying that, I automatically want to start seeing hockey.
Yeah, yes.
No, I don't. I just want to go hang out with Charlie Sheen.
Well, you wanted to do that beforehand.
I did. I still do. Charlie, if you're listening, buddy, I will not go to hockey games.
Charlie, wait a second. Does Charlie still have the goddesses?
No, he hasn't.
That would be my second reason for wanting to go hang out with
Charlie.
I
think one of those is actually gone. I think one of them left. She went back to porn. She chose to go back to porn.
She'd rather go back to porn instead of hanging out with Charlie Sheen. It's kind of like the teen mom choosing prison over rehab.
That is exactly right. All right.
I would rather get blown in the face daily than hang out with Charlie Sheen. That's what she was saying.
Yeah, and you know what? She's getting paid better probably for that. But it could be just as damaging. I'm not really sure. And sadly, Charlie Sheen, out of the two parents of his kids, seems to be the sane one. So that's a good sign for those kids.
Are you talking about Denise Richards?
No. Bueller?
About Brooke Mueller.
Brooke Mueller. Bueller was Ferris.
Wait, yeah,
was
between it? His arrests, she gets arrested.
Isn't Denise Richards the mother of some of Charlie Sheen?
Other kids.
Okay. How many kids does he have?
Actually, he and her are now good friends. She stays over and stuff. They've reconciled. They're not sleeping together, supposedly, but they're good friends.
Yeah, no, that can't backfire. All right, so Charlie Sheen was at the hockey game. Kings, unfortunately for them, were up 3-0. They're now up 3-2. No team has blown. In hockey, it has happened, but blowing a 3-0 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals, and that hasn't happened, though, since 1945. They are now coming back for a Game 6. But the basketball finals is now decided. Oklahoma City has been waiting for the winner of the Heat-Celtics series. And I was pulling for the Celtics because the mayor of Boston, and he's been a mayor there for years, came up with another wonderful sports blunder. Last year, he gave credit to the Red Sox catcher for kicking a field goal. And this year, somebody asked him just recently how the Celtics are doing so well against the Heat, and his answer was this.
Speaking of history, tell me your thoughts about the Celtics and where they stand in history right now.
There's a lot of heart in this team. Let me just tell you, KJ is a great head, but Hondo's really the inspiration. I mean, Hondo drives that team, and I'm really pleased with what's happened over the last few nights.
All right, so my favorite part of that is that he likes KJ and Hondo. And there is no KJ or Hondo on that team.
Aren't those Street Fighter characters from the video game?
KJ and Hondo, I believe, are superheroes. That is a fantastic quote, and I love an all-new KJ and Hondo. I can't wait for the next episode. But KJ, I believe, is KG, Kevin Garnett, and Hondo is Rajon Rondo. But you know what? When you're the mayor and you can come with KJ and Hondo, they got a lot of hot. That's awesome. That is awesome.
See, I misunderstood. I thought he said they were really hot.
I like the terms. I like the names Thunder and Heat. That sounds like a WWF tag team group. Thunder and Heat.
Well, that is what we got for the finals. LeBron versus the current Kevin Durant, the current three-time actually scoring champion at 23 years old. But let's move over to the NFL real quick because 80 lawsuits have just been combined against the NFL. Let's listen to this.
More than 80 pending concussion-related lawsuits against the NFL have been combined into one, filed this morning in federal court in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The suit accuses the NFL mythologizing and glorifying violence through the media, including its NFL Films division. Among the plaintiffs are the families of former Bear Dave Dorson and former Falcon Ray Easterling, both of whom committed suicide. In a written statement, the NFL says this: the NFL has long made player safety a priority and continues to do so. Any allegation that the NFL intentionally sought to mislead players has no merit.
No merit. Do you buy that?
I guess I don't really believe that they were consciously trying to, you know, cause concussions.
No, but
I don't think they were misleading. I mean, how do you not know it's bad for you?
Well, here's the thing. Well, years ago, you give them some leeway. But in 1994,
leather helmets.
And that's crazy. Hockey goalies didn't used to wear helmets, so that's how nuts that shit is. But in 1994, the NFL put together a group to study the Mild Traumatic Brain Injury Committee. That is the committee they put together in 1994. Quote, after voluntarily assuming a duty to investigate, study, and truthfully report to the public and NFL players, including the plaintiffs, the medical risks associated with mild traumatic brain injury, the NFL instead produced industry-funded, biased, and falsified research that falsely claimed the concussive and subconcussive head impacts do not present serious life-altering risks. So basically in 94, they went, all right, sure, we have to have a committee, we'll do a committee, and then they came out and went, no, it's no big deal. Everybody's fine.
Who was on that committee? Like, was it?
I don't know. It was run by the NFL.
The helmet manufacturers funded that committee. You know what? You have to default. I always default to, for those of you over 35, the Beretta song. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. You go into football, it is dangerous. It is a dangerous sport. You're putting yourself in harm's way. Why is it a surprise if you got a concussion or
it's
a torn
like boxing.
Knee?
Well,
like,
I agree with you now.
I was a boxer, and I can't believe it was bad for me that I got punched in the head.
Well, I agree with it from now, but their argument is there are players from years back that aren't getting coverage for medical problems that they had because the NFL had spent years saying, no. None of this head stuff there's no proof that it hurts you later on.
In other words, guys sitting with head trauma today, former NFL players saying, hey, my head trauma is due to my career in the NFL. The NFL saying, no, it's not.
The NFL saying, well, you have to prove it at this point in time. But now, obviously, there's a lot more knowledge and they're doing a lot more to protect the players. But there's people that, you know, multiple people that have killed themselves at a young age and have seemed to have brain trauma that basically are claiming the NFL is responsible for. And the NFL is saying, well, I don't know for sure if we're responsible for it. But you know what? We'll talk about the holdouts. I want to real quick talk about the holdouts. I wanted to get your opinion specifically on it. The NFL holdouts, we got, we have Drew Brees, we have OC just signed, and Revis for the Jets is still possibly holding out.
He does that every year.
Yes. He made $16 million, but he's going to make a lot less in the end of the contract. Your thoughts generally, do you usually side with the players or the ownership on that?
I always felt that like players' salaries have gotten way out of control. So at this point, you know, I tend to go with owners because I, you know, and we've talked about this. I miss the days when players had an attachment to a team, you know, where like
that's
you
gone.
Grew up. That's gone now. And these guys, it's like, I understand you want to get as much money as you can, but these guys hold out for insane contracts.
Yes, but now, and real quick, because I want to move on, but now, and I agree with you, but now you look at someone like Matt Forte, who was a running back for the Bears, who last year went, I'm holding out, I want a longer-term contract, and he went, you know what, I'll play, and these guys told me they'll negotiate. He played, and he tore his MCL. He played, and he was their best player, and then he tore his MCL with 11 games left in the season. So you have a small window. You need to hold out and make your money when you can at that sport. But, I mean, it's tough. It's tough when you're arguing between $17 and $18 million. It's tough to say you have to hold out.
Or when, you know, it's like someone offers you $10 million and you're like, I want $30.
Right. Well, that is true. Or when you renegotiate and then want to renegotiate a year and a half later. But let's move to headlines as we're running late. We have Ray Bradbury passed away. 91, over 500 titles he had written, usually dealing with time travel, robots, space, all sorts of cool science fiction stuff. Mm-hmm. He will be missed. Basically a little, obviously before my time, but Ray Bradbury Theater is what I specifically remember watching on occasion.
I completely screwed up because my entire homework assignment, I was researching Gene Roddenberry.
You know what? Probably not nearly as far off as I'd like to pretend. Erin Moran, Joni Cunningham, has reportedly been evicted from her California home and has had to move into a rundown trailer park with her husband and mother-in-law.
Now, this pisses me off big time because you know what? Who was her brother on Happy Days? Ron Howard. Now, Ron Howard puts his not much more attractive than Erin Moran brother Clint Howard in all of his movies. He won't give a freaking role to his little sister Erin Moran.
Well, if he gives one to Erin Moran, he has to give one to Potsy. He has to give one to Ralph Malph.
Ralph Malph.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. If I was her, I would have seen whether or not Fonzie's old apartment over the garage is still available. You got a shot.
At least appear in one of Fonzie's alien videos or something. Doesn't Henry Winkler produce government or alien conspiracy videos?
I don't know, but now I like it. I'm going to have to look.
I had no idea.
No, is that true, or did you completely make that up?
No. Henry Winkler is a big proponent of like alien research and Area 51 and all that, so she should try to host one of his videos and like play an alien or something.
Yeah, but is there a picture of her? I mean, does Erin Moran at all look like anything anyone wants to see right now?
No, Erin Moran.
So you can't just go, I'm going to put her in something.
I don't want to compete with her, but she should get a podcast.
There is a huge difference. No one expects Clint Howard to look good. It's like, oh, look, there's a little troll like Clint Howard. It's like when you see Clint Howard in a movie, it's like anytime you watch a Marvel comic book, you're just waiting to see Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Okay, no one's watching going, oh, I want to see Erin Moran.
Well, 20 years ago, I was. I'm moving with Scott Baio. I think former co-stars should be forced to live together years on. But Bill Maher. Bill Maher is now a minority owner of the Mets, which makes sense because if anything is going to make you lose your faith in God, it would be watching the New York Mets.
But to be clear, though, as soon as he bought a minority stake in the Mets, they had a no-hitter, which they haven't had in 50 years.
That is true. And I'm still living off of that because they've barely won since then.
And what about Seinfeld? Seinfeld's a huge fan of the Mets. I wonder if he's going to be kicking in.
Well, I would assume if he did, that would have been reported a lot.
Yeah.
Especially in that part of the
They're
world.
They're not doing that under the radar.
A serpent-handling West Virginia pastor died. Pastor Mark Wolford, 44 years old, held an outdoor service where he passed around a snake. About 30 minutes into it, passed around a snake. Then he sat down. The snake bit him on the thigh, and he died. The ironic thing about this idiot is that his dad, when his dad was 39,
same thing,
did the same thing, died from a snake bite.
And yet Jake the Snake, every day, worked with a snake without any problem.
The funny part, I mean, they even covered this on the Bill Maher show, but I don't want to repeat it, but they even said, it's like, the whole thing is they quote the Bible and these things, like, believe in the Lord and, you know, handle the serpent. That's not the exact quote, but that's the theme of the thing.
They shall take up serpents.
Yeah, and you'll be fine. It's like, well, sort of does shoot that hole in your theory if it kills you.
Yeah, God works in mysterious ways. Sometimes it's not that mysterious. If a poisonous snake bites you, you die.
No, but from a big biblical perspective, serpent meant the devil. So you can handle the devil. Not an actual freaking snake.
We have a kitty copter. A guy decided to take his cat, Orville, which he missed greatly, and decided to make it into a remote control helicopter, which I currently now want you to do with me when I die. By the way, I would be an awesome Gus Copter. Are you kidding me? I'd be awesome.
I know this is disgusting for this show, but seriously, you know I love animals. Now, I think if, like, you know, a little abortion copters would be fantastic. little fetus planes.
Well, fetus planes are not bad. Not bad. You will get the material. We got 30 seconds. Give me your what is wrong with people. Who's your douche of the week?
That's a tough one this week. I'm not sure I have one.
Sal, you got somebody?
Yeah, I got this guy here. His name is Sergey Mavrotti, a Ponzi scheme, pyramid scheme master from Russia. He's back on the scene, ready to rip people's money off.
Nice. I'm going to go with the American people for watching too much reality TV. I'll blame them for killing Conway. Good night.